And where there are folks like you and I, there's going to be problems, as well as blessings and everything else that goes with it. Paul is seeking to, if you like, lift up the head of this church, because they've been beset with some squabbles. There's been some backbiting in the background, and Paul wants to protect this church because Paul knows that God's got his hand on this church. And so we have the benefit of this letter. What we don't know, of course, is we didn't see the letter that the church sent to Paul, so we don't know what that church said. But we do know, and we can glimpse into, by Paul's response to that church. Fruit of the Spirit is something I hope is well known to all of you. And I think if I just stay quiet for a minute and ask all of you to repeat it without the words up there, I hope that most of you would know the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. I just want to start, though. I want to step back now into Genesis, because I want to get this fruit of the Spirit set in its right context. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, is the story of, in the beginning, God created. Chapter 1 is all about God moving across the face of the earth by his Spirit, creating what we have around us today. But verse 27 says this: "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them." Now, when Scripture repeats something twice, it's making a point. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Notice that this is God in the plural. This is God. This is the Holy Trinity at work: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Male and female, he created them. So what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Well, it can't be physical, can it? Because I look on every one of you and you're completely different. Your DNA would testify to that. And in my old job, if I took all of your fingerprints, not one of them would match. And when you think there are billions of people and everybody is unique, there isn't one person that's an exact copy of anybody else. That's the creativity of the God that we worship. But we are made in his image. So what's the Bible telling us? Well, this is where Galatians is really helpful. Because we're not talking about a physical image, so we're talking about an image of God that's implanted, imprinted within our very DNA. The ability to think, to reason, to love. All the attributes that you see of God, and supremely through in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, talks about the image of God. And we know God so much more better than we would have done in the Old Testament days, because we've seen him at work in and through his Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you look at Jesus, you see God. And God says, when you look at me, you will see yourselves reflected. Now, we're a poor image, aren't we? Because sin has tainted the human race and we have fallen far short. Romans 3:23 says, for we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Why? Because we're sinners. But thanks be to God who has rescued us through the salvation of the cross. And God is in the business now of restoring his perfect image into an imperfect people. That's you and I. But we don't lose hope, because God is at work. Romans 8, and I know you'll love these verses, and I'm just going to pick out 28. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. In other words, it's God's eternal plan at work in each one of us. He predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Do you know why your prayers are effective? Because when God looks at you, he sees his Son. We are clothed, the Bible tells us, in the righteousness of Jesus. So we can come into the presence of God anytime, any place, anywhere, with anything that's on our hearts and minds. God hears us because he looks at us and he sees Jesus, because we have his righteousness. Paul picks up this theme and enlarges upon it, because what Paul is reminding us of, and that's why I've taken you back to Genesis, we can go all the way through the Bible, but we'll pause now in Galatians, because God wants to reproduce in us the qualities that he gave us before Adam and Eve sinned. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they were perfect. They were in complete relationship with God. They're in complete relationship with each other and with their world around them. And sin destroyed all of that, damaged it, but not beyond repair, because God is at work. So when we look at Galatians, and we just, and Tom read those out for us, those fruits of the Holy Spirit are the qualities of the character of Jesus. So what the Father sees in his Son, he wants to see in us, because we're made in his likeness. We're made in the image of God. So very simply, what Paul is telling us is God is about the business of restoring every single human being back to the image that we were originally created to be in complete harmony and fellowship with our Maker and with one another. And dare I say it, with the world around us. Because God made the human race stewards of the whole earth, of everything that he created in it. So we need to be aware that that's one of our responsibilities, is to look after our planet. So God's in the business of recreating within us that which we lost at the fall. Now, how does this fruit get produced in us? Paul has two simple words that he uses throughout his letters, and those two words are in Christ. Now, you will see you've got family and friends and neighbours who will exhibit many of these fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You'll see it in your friends and neighbours, your family. You'll see aspects of it. But God's in the business of recreating us from the inside out. And God takes each one of us who have surrendered to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's busy bringing about that restored image in each of our lives. The fruit of the Spirit starts with the word love. And that should be no surprise to us, because what are the greatest commandments? When Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees and by others, what are the greatest commandments? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Key word is love. So when we come and surrender our lives to Jesus, we are placed in Christ. That's the biblical terminology. In fact, Paul uses that expression or something similar to it 164 times throughout the New Testament. In Christ. That's where we are. We're not in the world anymore. We've been taken out of the world. We now belong to God. And we live or in the world, but we're not of the world anymore because we have a new relationship with God. We start with the word love, but please note that all the other words that follow on from that in the fruit of the Spirit, they are just aspects of love. They are, if you like, the working out, the demonstration of the love of God that's within each one of us. So they will follow on naturally. You can't bring about these qualities by self-effort. We have a part to play, but unless God brings it about through our relationship with him, through being in Christ, and we exhibit that by being here this morning with your Bible studies, your worship, your prayer, all of that means that you're in Christ. And it's those times when that's when the Holy Spirit can work most powerfully within each one of us. But that happens throughout your day, you know, through every day. You are, wherever you are in Christ. And so you are Christ's ambassadors. And God wants the world to know that he's alive and active. How does he do that? Well, you're his hands and feet. The way that you live your life out amongst your neighbours and your families and your friends should be a visible representation of the work of God within each one of us. Reinhard Bonnke, who's a West German evangelist, used to have this wonderful phrase. He said, "Don't be submarine Christians." And everybody sat up. I thought, what is he talking about? And he went on to explain very simply. He said, there are those who think that their Christian life starts just after midnight on Sunday morning, surfaces during the day of Sunday, and by Sunday night when they go to bed, they sink back down again. And the other 6 days of the week, you wouldn't know that they were Christians. Submarine Christians, there is no place for them in the Bible. We are the hands and feet of the living God. And what people see in our lives may be very imperfectly presented at times, is what other people will take note of. If they know that you're a Christian, they will be watching to see how you respond to people and situations, life's difficulties. Sometimes it's often been said you can preach the gospel and where you need to, use words. In other words, it's the way you live out your daily lives, whether it's at home or at work, with amongst your neighbours, down at the local shop, having a pint in the pub, playing a round of golf. Everywhere you are Christ's ambassadors. So we're equipped to live our lives, and God is in the process of that transforming work to make us more like Jesus. So we start off with love. You know there are four different meanings, four Greek words for love. The one we're talking about is the word agape. It was a word that the church took on board from the Greek because it was a perfect word. It talks about an all-encompassing love. It's a love that shines beyond all other loves. Love fulfills the law. That's when Jesus quoted the greatest commandments are those two that we've just looked at. 1 John 4 verses 8 says, God is love. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love because he first loved us. There is nothing in us that's attractive to God until by his saving grace he comes and touches us and changes us and then begins that process of transformation that you should see in each other and encouraging each other too. little bit of homework for you. When you go home this week and you do your Bible study, would you look at 1 Corinthians 13? In fact, join me with it. Just humour me for a couple of seconds, because it's a passage you know well. In fact, if you've been to weddings over the years, you will know it very well. Let me just share just a few verses, but listen to the word love, because it repeats itself. When you go home, read these words, and instead of the word love, put your name there. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I find that one of the most challenging set of verses, because if I put my name there, I know how far short I fall. That's the standard. Now, you and I can't live up to that, not in our own natural strength, but we can through the help and the blessing of God's Spirit. I always find that well worth doing, because it just encourages me to realize that's what God wants to see in me. That's what God wants to see in those around me, because then we speak powerfully by who we are, of the God that lives within us. Let's look at joy. Joy springs out of love. I think the word of Scripture is inspired, and I think these words are meant to follow one after another. So what's joy? The Message has got a great translation for it. I like The Message at times. It's down to earth. An exuberance about life. Gladness and delight. Now, I know we don't feel that all the time. Life doesn't allow that to happen. But at the core of our beings, when we think about how much God has done for us and is doing for us, we should have an exuberance about life, because God is showing his love for each one of us in the way that he deals with us. Romans 15 verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Notice those words are linked together again, and we'll be looking at these other words, but we're looking at God of hope, a God of joy and peace, as we trust in him. We've been looking at the world's circumstances, haven't we? And it's pretty dire. Absolutely tragic. When you see those aerial shots when they first come out of the devastation, it was just, I don't know about you, we struggled to take, Val and I looked at it and we just couldn't take it in. That what have been whole cities are just decimated. But the Church of God is on the move. Organisations like TIFF and others are at the front end of this, and it was so good to hear that you've been able to contribute both as a church and as individuals. You may think, well, what good does my little bit do? But if everybody thought that way, we wouldn't give anything, would we? A little goes a long way in these situations. Club it all together, and we can give the people of Turkey and Syria hope. That's when God touches our heartstrings. Romans 14 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God." And then notice this bit, "and approved by men." You see, in a funny sort of way, if we live lives that are filled with the fruit of the Spirit that's being reproduced in us, people notice a difference in us. That's how you can preach the gospel without words. So every one of you is an evangelist, whether you know it or not. That's how God can work in through a people who are surrendered to him. Joy, you know the meaning of this word. Peace is a consequence of joy. If you've got joy in your heart, despite what's going on around you, despite what's happening even in your own lives, you can have that just rock solidness that God is for you. And that gives you that sense of love and joy and peace within your own hearts, which people will see. Notice this is an inward thing. This is God working his way inwards so that it comes outwards. You can't make yourself like this. You can't say, I'm going to be joyful today. Because if circumstances change 5 minutes later, you'll feel anything perhaps other than joy. It has to come from within, and that's what the Spirit is doing. Isaiah 26:3 says this, as we think about peace. You will keep in peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. That's one of those memory verses that when you're going through a tough time, and we all do, God delights to give you his peace. That peace comes when we learn to trust in God, whatever the circumstances are. What we've been singing about this morning, through the good times and the bad times, we can still know the peace of God. Patience. Well, you've got that in oodles, haven't you? I wasn't very patient this morning, as Val reminded me. When groups of cyclists clumped up blocking the main road and you couldn't get past them. And I was looking at my watch thinking, I need to get moving. Patience is one of those extraordinary things that we all think we've got a lot of, until. Proverbs 19 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offence. When somebody crosses you, makes you angry, and you lose your patience, remember that. It is to your glory to overlook that offence. You can all think of circumstances when you've lost your patience, and you will do again. But God will remind you that he can give you the inner resources. Remember, God provides us with plenty of raw circumstances, material, to test our sanctification, our patience. Just a gentle reminder to us that we're not perhaps as far along the road as we thought we were. Patience has the ability to keep on going. Sometimes through the production of humour. Have you noticed on occasions that situations get tense and fraught as people are getting a bit grumpy with each other? And then somebody cracks a funny, and the whole thing just lightens. Patience can do that. It just makes you step back a few seconds before you speak. And then who knows what will come out of it. Sense of humour is great. Kindness. A disposition of goodwill. The Hebrew is chesed is the word that's used. Talks about the kindness of God. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Kindness is one of those underestimated gifts. It's a lovely fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have seen the name of the particular film, but it's a funny one where Morgan Freeman is playing God and he's challenged somebody to build an ark. Do you remember that film? It's brilliant. Towards the end of that, Morgan Freeman as God is talking to this individual as the film comes to an end, and he said, "Don't forget the acronym of the word ARC." And it stuck with us. It's one act of random kindness. An act of random kindness. How many times have you and I been touched by the kindness of somebody else? A spontaneous reaction. How many times do we say thank you to somebody in a shop? Or when somebody opens the door for us instead of letting it slam in your face? In their rush and hustle and bustle of this mad world we live in. One act of random kindness can speak volumes. Goodness. Well, we know that God is the fountain of all goodness. Jesus, when he's speaking to the rich young ruler, says to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." I remember first reading that, I was quite affronted by that, and I thought, well, I'll try and live a good life. And then, of course, I realized that there are our standards of goodness, and then there's God's supreme standard of goodness. And that's what Jesus was talking about. But you see, goodness, like kindness, has to be an attitude before it becomes an action. Has to be an attitude. In other words, it's what goes on in here that is eventually expressed by the way that we live out our lives in relationships. Because that's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. It's how we demonstrate our relationships. So what God does within us, he expects to see the fruit, the evidence of his life within us in the way that we relate to one another. Galatians 6 says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us all do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Faithfulness, Greek word, talks about a quality of character. And this is what the fruit of the Spirit is about. It's God's character being reproduced in us. It's trust. We know we can't do this, but we can trust in the God who says he will do it within us. We need to surrender to God to allow God to work within us. 1 Corinthians says this, "God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." We just need to say to God sometimes, "Lord, I am struggling in these areas. I can't do it, but I know you can. Lord, continue to work in and through me, please." And God, that's a prayer that I guarantee God will answer. Because it's the prayer that touches his heart. Gentleness, seen in the life of Christ. Matthew 11 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says Jesus, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Seen supremely in John 13, when Jesus wrapped a towel round his waist and wash the feet of his disciples. He who was Lord of glory took the form and the nature of a servant, knelt before their feet and cleaned them to set an example that we should follow through. Gentleness is not, as some people think, about being servile or groveling. Gentleness is seen in the life of Jesus and in the life of so many of his followers as a combination of strength and restraint. We need the two together. We can be very strong in some things, but we need to be restrained at the same time. We need that lovely balance. And that's what the fruit of gentleness does within us. We see people as God sees them. And finally, self-control. An ability to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Quite an interesting thought, isn't it? An ability to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Proverbs 25 has quite a pithy saying that reminds us, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man or woman who lacks self-control. Paul reminds us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us. And God's desire is to see within each one of his children the character of his son, so that the world can look at us and see something of Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you'll be saying to yourselves, I lack some of these characteristics, some of these graces. Join the rest of us, folks. We are a work in progress. Fruit grows. It doesn't just appear. God's work in us, his hand upon us, is a lifetime's work, until either we go to be with him or until he returns. Take heart with this one. Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this, says Paul, that he who began a good work in me will see it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, when Christ returns. God has his hands on you and me, and he won't let go. Be confident of that, because he has promised to do so. May God bless his word to you this morning. Thank you all for listening so patiently.
Stand, shall we? Jesus, you're the hope I cling to, tower that I run to, so ever near. Radiant light within my darkness, faithful in my weakness, God who strengthens me. Lead me, take me ever deeper, show me all the riches of this mystery. Christ in me, my hope and my glory, my certainty, my heart bows down, surrendered in worship to my God and King. Jesus, you're the holy promise, poured your blood out for us, rose again to life. All my sins are now forgiven, and my life is hidden, saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus, when I stand in glory, with your throne before me, I'll be found in you. Christ in me, my hope and my glory, my certainty, my heart bows down, surrendered in worship to my God and King. My hope is born to God. weakness I dare not trust. My feeble frame, the holy lean on Jesus' name. Christ in me, my hope and my glory, my certainty. My heart bows down, surrendered in worship to my God and King. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
And together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You could be.
Thank you.